I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo. It is Wednesday, August 16th. Our hearts and minds are with the loss of Elvis Presley today. Leslie Chris joining me, though.
The alleged loss.
Oh, this is true. Go in, go speak to that.
Well,
where is he?
I'm not sure where he is. I have friends who were working at the funeral home in Memphis and say he is truly deceased.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have friends, especially a friend
who works at the Daily Journal,
who happens to work at the Daily Journal and write about food and
we'll be on our Friday podcast.
And who, you know, anytime someone speaks of Elvis's death,
mm-hmm.
you hear from her mouth come this word. His alleged death.
That's just because she doesn't want to let go. She doesn't have any proof.
Well, that's probably true. She loved him.
This is the 40th anniversary of Mr. Presley's passing, which is hard to say three times fast.
And so I'm not going to try.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you for joining us today on The Memo.
Thank you for having me.
Brad Locke is dead to us and will not be appearing on this show anymore. Actually, we'll give him one more chance and then he's off.
If he screws up
on Friday, he's out. He's not coming back anymore.
That's a little sad, don't you think?
Well, I guess we should go ahead and say he's actually not coming back.
Yeah, he's actually all the times that Derek has promised that and listeners have gotten excited, he's actually telling the truth this time.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's out. Brad, people might have seen the news on social media, but Brad is switching to a new position at the Journal. He's been our online content coordinator, but he's moving back to the sports department where he started at the Journal. He used to cover high school sports and cover Mississippi State, and so he switched over. But anyway, he's going back to replace Gene Phelps, who recently retired, and he'll be, I don't know what exactly his title is, but senior sports writer, yeah, I guess so. So it'll be, anyway, covering sports. He'll still be on the Prep Rally podcast, but will no longer be on The Memo.
So we'll find out if Thomas Wolfe was wrong and see if Brad can go home again to sports. He says he's excited about it.
The odds are 32-1 against him.
So in the meantime, we've got Leslie today, and we will have guests filling Brad's seat and get a long-term replacement.
Maybe it just becomes a one-man show and I start juggling it. And
would you like that?
No, I would not. We do have a full episode today, even without Brad. Bobby Harrison will be joining us, as well as Dennis Sid. Scott Morris will be talking about the eclipse.
Well, you know, Justin said eclipses, but I don't really know that that's correct. I think it should be something more.
Eclipses?
Eclipses, maybe, or as Derek said, eclipsi. I'll have to go look that up and find out what is correct.
Well, eclipsi was the name of my punk band in high school.
It's not Latin, I don't guess, because it ends in a E, but I don't know.
It would just be eclipsis, would be plural if that's what it is, not eclipses.
Yeah.
That's adding an extra sis.
I mean, I have friends who used to say breakfasts. It's just breakfasts. So I assume it's eclipses. But like I said, sense. I'll look it up.
I'm sure Scott will give us his opinion when he comes in as well.
I was going to say I defer to Leslie on a grammar
question.
Perhaps
we won't ask.
And Adam Robinson will be joining as well to discuss his In Focus photo essay from Monday's issue of the Daily Journal, and we will go ahead and get started. Dennis Sid joining us now on Wednesday. A plethora of topics we could discuss with you, Dennis, but obviously the first and foremost, the most important on the hearts and minds of people in Northeast Mississippi. Zaxby's opens Monday, is that correct?
Monday. Okay. And on a lesser note, Home Goods opens on Saturday.
Nobody cares.
For the non-food chicken tender eating people.
Yeah. I guess if you're a vegetarian, you want to go to Home Goods, that's fine.
Hey, they have fine pillows.
Yeah. Now, that's located to the left of Dick's, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, yeah. In all seriousness, though, just a quick update from when you were on last week discussing Toyota-Mazda joint partnership looking for a plant. Now it looks like 11 states are vying for that title.
According to the Wall Street Journal, yes, and Mississippi is on that list of 11 states, which I don't have in front of me. But
I could tell you what they are.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, they're Alabama, Alaska. No, I'm not going to go in alphabetical order. Alabama, Florida, Kentucky, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Texas.
And as you've probably figured out, most of those states are in the South.
Uh-huh.
No surprise there.
No.
But Mississippi also has the smallest population to draw from as far as workers.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about 4,000 employees. And so in the article that was in Monday's paper, hopefully mm-hmm. some of you read it, or online even, that's one of the things that could be an issue is where are we going to find 4,000 people for another automobile plant in Mississippi? Not that we don't want it, but, you know, we already have two.
Let's see, Save-A-Lot's closed. What else is closed that we could draw from?
Yeah, this is true.
Okay, there you go.
You know, lots of manufacturing here in Mississippi, in Northeast Mississippi, but you know, are there enough of those qualified, capable folks to fill that position? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, you know, if Toyota and Mazda choose to put a plant here in Mississippi, we'll be happy to accommodate them and find those folks for them.
So like most things in corporate right now, it's just hurry up and wait.
There we go.
All right. Moving forward to a more local story, Contour Airlines has submitted a bid to continue air service from Northeast Mississippi to Nashville. Is that correct?
Well, they plan to. They have.
They have not yet.
Airlines have up until sometime in September to submit a bid to mm-hmm. provide service to Tupelo. It can be subsidized or non-subsidized, but let's just say it now. It's going to be subsidized.
Yeah.
Government's going to pay the money to fly out of Tupelo.
Absolutely.
So. But Contour, who's been here since April of last year, they have indicated that they will indeed submit a bid again.
I think it's been good for Tupelo. I think it's been good for Contour. So why not continue that partnership?
Exactly. Through January 31st, there have been 5,563 boardings here in Tupelo. And from April through end of last year, there were 5,913 boardings. So, you know, we're gonna smash that number, although it's still a far cry from the 30,000 that we boarded in 2006, but that's when we had Delta and Northwest serving Tupelo.
Yeah.
Back in the good old days.
Back when you could go to Memphis or Atlanta.
Yeah.
But once upon a time.
But let's say we do 6,000-7,000 boardings this year. Oh, you know, maybe more than that. Math, you know, sometimes difficult. But
sorry. I was told there would be none.
The last time we had more than 8,000 boardings was back in 2012, and that's when Delta was still here through September of that year. Then Silver Airlines took over that October, and we know what happened after that.
Silver, so. And then Seaport, and
yeah, those are the dark times that we won't mention.
Third time was the charm with Contour, so. It would seem. Obviously, this new contract, if Contour were to get it, would not start until March of next year.
And there may be other airlines who want to bid and maybe offer some alternative.
None yet have stepped up that you know of?
Not yet, but again, we have until
September.
September, yeah. Something.
19th.
Yeah, there yeah. you go. Yeah. Sounds good.
That's a nice round number.
Not really. And a twist to it, too, speaking of alternate, is...
drama.
Right now, you know, they're being paid through the Essential Air Service program, $4.2 million a year. That's a lot to provide 30 flights a week between Tupelo and Nashville on a 9-passenger Jetstream twin prop plane. Mm-hmm. There's an idea that was brought up back in April, I think we discussed here on this fine show, the alternate Essential Air Service, whereas instead of the government paying the airline on a monthly basis, that a lump sum will be given to the community, and the community, or airport board in this case, would, you know, fix the contract with the airline, and which would also provide the opportunity for the airline, Contour, or whomever, to provide a plane with more seats or a bigger plane. In this case, let's say I'm just throwing out a number. If Contour says, let's try this alternate EAS program for the same 4.2 million.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Theoretically.
And instead of a 9-passenger plane, we'll go ahead and put those other 10 seats that we took out of that plane, whereas we can have, you know, 19 passengers per plane. Mm-hmm. Or, and this is a big or.
Turn it into a party plane.
They could bring a regional jet. Yeah, we haven't seen one of those since, well, Silver.
Yeah.
Which would be 30 seats. But the problem is regional jets and all bigger planes, too. You know, it's going to be more expensive to operate. And
ticket prices will be higher.
And or a combination of fewer flights. Instead of 30, it may be 12 or 15. Yeah. So, you know, we want the same number of flights we have now to Nashville on a 9-passenger plane, which is, you know, we're reaching maximum capacity with numbers last month of more than 900 passengers. Or do we cut it down where, you know, we can put up to 19 or 30 people on a plane and fly to Nashville? That's something, you know, they'll have to determine how the market, how the public's going to react.
Ultimately, where would that decision fall? With the airport board?
Well, the airport board will make a recommendation to the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the city or the airport will have to, you know, ask or demonstrate why, explain why they prefer alternate EAS, and then DOT will ultimately determine, okay, good plan, bad plan. And this is all up in the air. Pardon the pun.
Dennis, could other locations be a possibility too?
Talking to the CEO of Contour, he said that as they get into negotiations with the airport board about the new contract, new bid, there's a possibility they could, you know, talk about another destination because, you know, a year and a half ago, people wanted to know if we could go to Atlanta or add Atlanta along with Nashville. So that discussion, I'm sure, will come up again. What headway we make or they make, I don't know, to be determined.
Good information. Thanks for coming on, Dennis.
You're welcome.
Look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports cast with Brad Locke. You can still hear him there. And Dalton Middleton. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it free in iTunes, podcast apps, or preprally.djournal.com. Ole Miss is Mississippi State fans. Check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and Mississippi State reporter Logan Lowry produce a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. Listen free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
You can also wake up for your day and get ready for the Daily Journal's news break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, and the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
All right, we go down to Jackson now and talk to Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison. Bobby, how's it going down there today?
All right, Chris, how you doing?
Good, doing well. You had a story, I guess, on Sunday's paper, looking at the state Supreme Court, which, as you noted, it's kind of generally set up to 9 members and for positions to be replaced gradually, so no one governor can exert too much influence on it, but that's kind of a little bit different right now, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, theoretically, Chris, the governor should have no influence on it. But, you know, there's 9 elected positions.
Right.
What happens is if there's a vacancy for whatever reason in the middle of a term, the governor gets to make an appointment to fill that position, and that person he appoints serves until the term is up. And right now he's in the process of having 3 appointments to the court, and you know, there's been four vacancies overall in the past 2 years. You know, apparently it's just a coincidence, but I mean, it's been much more turnover than it's normal on the Supreme Court. You've had a case where you had 3 justices leave or in the process of leaving to take other positions, which is unusual for them to do that, take other state government type positions, and then you had 1 justice just retire, and so you got almost half the court had turned over in the past 2 years, which is, you know, they serve 8-year staggered terms, so that's kind of unusual.
Yeah, sure. And a lot of those, I guess, turnover has kind of, Bryant's kind of been in the middle of that too. It's kind of been a matter of him, in some cases, appointing the sitting judges to other positions.
That's correct. With this kind of started in December of 2015, I guess it was, when David Chandler, Northern District Supreme Court Justice, was resigned to be appointed by Bryant to the position of Commissioner of Child Protection Services. By the same time, Randy Pierce, a Southern District Judge, stepped down to, the governor did not make the appointment, but Pierce is now head of the Ole Miss, the Judicial College at the University of Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And then just recently, Chandler is leaving his position of Child Protection Services, and Dickerson, another Southern District Judge, is going to take that position. So Bryant's about to get another appointment in the middle of this. Ann Lamar from up in Tate County finished her term and stepped down. So there's another judge elected that position.
Some of the ones that Bryant has appointed have gone on to since win election since then. But I guess some of the, to say political watchers or whatever, would say that they're probably in a much stronger position to win election when they've had an opportunity to serve on the court in an interim capacity and kind of run as an incumbent.
You know, that's the issue that Jay Hughes, a House member from a Democrat, one of the most vocal Democrats in the state, was making when there's a vacancy and the governor fills that position. You know, that means, the Supreme Court justices, the judiciary is supposed to be nonpartisan, but mm-hmm. when the governor makes an appointment, the political party gets behind that person and they have a real shot to win the election when the election comes up. That happened with the David Chandler seat, Maxwell from over in Oxford.
James Maxwell, right?
Yeah, was Bryant appointed him and he actually won the election with no opposition. When the election rolled around, and Randy Pierce down and up, when he resigned, the governor appointed
Dawn Beam.
Right, and she won the election. I think she's out of the opposition, but she won rather handily. And if ever he appoints for this current vacancy, I'm sure he'll run for the post. And next November, whomever he appoints for that post will probably be the prohibitive favor to win a full 8-year term. You know, there's always, it's kind of been the unwritten rule through the years. You know, there's been various groups that wanted Mississippi to have a appointed instead of elected judiciary. And this is kind of a way to get at that without actually doing. You have 8-year terms. And if the judge retires in the middle of the term and the governor gets to make an appointment, a lot of times that poor person, for all practical purposes, is guaranteed that post until he retires or takes another position.
Yeah, sure, because it's not like some appointments where they've got you make a quick appointment, like, say, the Jeff Sessions senator seat in Alabama where they just had an election for it.
In this case,
you finish out the whole term.
Yeah, you go back several years ago when Trent Lott stepped down as U.S. Senator in Mississippi, he stepped down in the middle of the 6-year term. It was unexpected when Haley Barbour appointed Roger Wicker to that post. And like on New Year's Eve of 2007, I guess it was, New Year's Eve, but Wicker had to run for re-election, had to run for re-election to the post in a special election that November. So that's a big difference in the process. Whereas a judge appointed to the position gets expected there for the remainder of the term.
You mentioned Jay Hughes's comments, and they were quoted in your story again, which is in Sunday's Daily Journal. You can see it at djournal.com. Is there a lot of criticism about the process? Is there something that he would want to see different, or are you hearing a lot of buzz otherwise about these appointments?
No, I think there's been some suspicion is raised. Nobody really talks about it too much because mm-hmm. the judges who are leaving. We have a very conservative Supreme Court, as you would expect in Mississippi. But, Chandler was considered, in terms of Mississippi jurisprudence, a moderate, so was Pierce. And they were given other positions, if you will, to kind of get them out. I mean, that just was kind of unusual. Dickerson is a little bit different. He's considered a conservative, but, you know, every now and then he'll stray from the traditional rulings.
Yeah.
In terms of what's traditional Mississippi. So, so you know, that was, I didn't get into that in the story, but I mean, that you know, that has been noticed that, you know, part of the people who have left, at least in terms of Pierce and Chandler, were replaced by more conservative judges. Bobby Chamberlain was one re-election to replace Lamar. He's a circuit judge. He was a circuit judge over in
DeSoto County.
DeSoto County, and I would my guess would be his ruling would be pretty, you know, would not be a lot different than Lamar's.
Okay. Another element you had in your story is Justice William Waller is the Chief Justice, and that's determined by length on the court. But then there's a three-judge, is it the presiding justices? And that's kind of changed a little bit, too, with all this shuffle, right?
Yeah. Dickerson was actually in line, next in line to be Chief Justice if Waller ever retired. But so now Michael Randolph from Hattiesburg filled that position, and Randolph has had some health problems himself. And then Jim Kitchens, here in the Central District, becomes the third presiding justice. And, you know, the three presiding justices, you know, when they have three-judge panels to hear cases, you know, the presiding justices, you know, obviously the judge presides over that. So it's, you know, I actually kind of look at this story as an opportunity to sort of educate people, if you will, about the Supreme Court. And it's been a work, and Chief Justice Waller, you know, he's been there for a while. He's, you know, he's son of a governor. He's well-respected, and you know, he's still a relatively young man in terms of judging.
Yeah.
Like doctors, judge years. you know, he's going to be there for a while longer. I actually tried to get him to comment on that, but he wouldn't. But I would be surprised if he steps down anytime soon.
You mentioned one other point I thought was interesting. In terms of educating people on the process, one thing I was educated from, and I texted you about it the other day in reading your story, is even just the way the terms in the elections are set up. You have, for instance, we'll take Chief Justice Waller. His next election is in November of 2020, but his term doesn't end until January of 2022, and you informed me that that's not a typo, that he would actually, if he were to lose the election, he'd still have a year plus as a so-called lame duck candidate.
Yeah, lame duck incumbent. I think Justice Waller's post is like that, and there's one in the Southern District that is like that. Am I right?
Dickinson's. I'm looking at your box, your fact box from the paper, and both of those.
Yeah, my recollection is that Dickerson beat Chuck McCray, who was sort of a controversial, colorful Supreme Court justice from down on the coast. And he beat him, when he was first elected to the court, but Justice McCray stayed for, my recollection was Justice McCray didn't resign early or anything. He stayed and finished out his term, so he actually served for over a year after he was defeated.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. Yeah.
And, those just worked out to keep the elections in the even years, the sort of the national election years, not the state election year.
Mm-hmm.
And also to have 8-year staggered terms, but that's the way the math works out. That the two of those had to be created like that.
Sure.
Not math over my head, but people did that. That's the way they, decided to do it. Best way to do it.
Interesting. Well, thanks, Bobby. Always good to have you. Appreciate you filling us in today.
All right, Chris. Take care.
You too.
Scott Morris.
Yes.
We're going to talk about your story from Sunday on the eclipse, which is coming up Monday.
Monday. The event's going to kind of start for us in the central time zone around noon, and then the peak event, I've seen a couple of different times. I've seen 1:27 and 1:29, so I'm not exactly sure about that one. It's going to be about a 2-minute peak event, and then the moon's going to move on, and it's going to start lightening up again. So we're going to get pretty dark here in northeast Mississippi. The closer you are to Tennessee and to Nashville, the more complete coverage we'll have of the sun. But I'd say in Tupelo, from what I've been able to see, we'll probably get about 93% of the full effect of what's going to happen. So further up to Tennessee and into it, it'll be more. and talked to some physicists down in Starkville for the story, and they said that what we're going to see, because we're going to be south of the line of totality. The line of totality is where you're going to have a complete full solar eclipse, and that's going to about a 70-mile wide ribbon that's going to run from Oregon to South Carolina. We'll be south of that, and so we'll see a smile. And she said it'll be like a Cheshire cat's grin, yeah, is what we'll see. Up north, they'll get a frown, because their view of it will be slightly different. And so they'll be seeing the top of the sun, we'll be seeing below the sun.
Those two physicists seem mighty excited about it.
Oh, man. You know, apparently, well, because when people went on the moon with the Apollo program, we left a bunch of reflectors up there. And with laser precision, we know exactly how far away the moon is. And so you can work out equations from that. I can't. Maybe you could, Leslie.
No, I could not.
You don't want to sell yourself short.
I do. I can't.
So somebody can work out equations and plans and stuff, and they know when these solar eclipses are going to be happening to a very specific detail. And so I was talking to one of the physicists, Dr. Tanner, and Dr. Pierce. But Dr. Pierce was saying that like 20 years ago, people were talking about this, getting ready for this eclipse, which will be on Monday, the 21st.
Did they say anything about the glasses that you're supposed to use to look at them?
They say you don't need any glasses. If you just look up at the sun, because the moon will be in the way, it won't be any kind of problem.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's a joke. That was a joke. No. We'll probably edit that out. No. You can't look at it. It'll hurt. It'll hurt. And in fact, I saw a story online about a guy who actually tried to look at a clip one time and did permanent damage to his eyes. There are glasses available. They're harder and harder to find. If you're a welder and you have like a number 14 shield, that'll work for you. But the glasses, I heard that like Walmart's were out and Lowe's out. But Kroger might have some on West Main. Something I saw on Facebook yesterday.
I must confess, I did not buy my glasses locally. I ordered from Amazon, and I hope that they're really okay to look through.
Now, in addition to your eyes, you also want to look out for your camera. So, taking photographs with your phone, you could overwhelm your camera on your phone or just any other camera if you don't have a filter. The physicist suggested taking one of the lenses out of a pair of glasses, eclipse glasses, and putting them onto your phone lens. And using that. But somebody else said on the radio who's said that you're not going to give a very good shot of the experience with your phone. So maybe the best shot would be getting the photograph of everybody else around you as they're in awe of what they're seeing. So that's something.
I'm sure this will date me, but I can remember making little boxes or...
Yeah, the pinhole camera?
Yeah.
You can look online and find a tutorial on how to build one. And the deal is just that the shadow that comes through the camera, that you'll be able to see it against the edge of a box. I saw one on Facebook the other day that you can make out of a shoe box relatively easily, look like. And so I'm probably going to see about doing one of those this weekend and get prepared. Because I have a new pair of Nikes for the school year. So I have some look cool when I go to school. And so I got the box just sitting there waiting for something. Looks like three holes to get it done.
I'm looking at Amazon right now, and everything says 1 to 2 months now.
Yeah, there's a lot of backlog.
Mine was a week late, so a week later than it was supposed to be.
I'm in trouble because I have not.
Well, actually, I have a pack of five.
Depends on how much.
I am good to go. You know how much are those going for now? The price just went up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was at Walmart on Saturday, and a friend of mine said they were near the makeup. I don't know why they'd be near the makeup, but that's also where they sell sunscreen sometimes out in that area. And ran into a former coworker, Josh Hanna, and he had ordered from Amazon, and his said his was definitely delayed. So we had a bunch coming for him. He ended up, and we finally found the display, and he got 10 of them. That's why you can't have any. He got so many of them.
You think they'll let us shut down and all go out in the parking lot Monday?
I think we should go up on the roof.
Mm.
Maybe you could storm. I'm taking a day off, so I've got some vacation days to burn, so I'm going to go find a nice field to watch. My plan was to take the kids out of school and drive up to Tennessee. I've got some family up there, and so visit with them and visit a cemetery or two where some people are buried. But my kids, Daddy, I got school to do. Like, my gosh, what are you?
What do they know?
And like, and my wife said, and then Evan's, my wife said, well, you know, you could drive up and by yourself and then drive back that day. I was like, I didn't want to go see the eclipse. I wanted to have an experience with the family, you know?
But your wife gave you permission to go, like, away for a day.
Yeah, just get the heck away is what she said.
I'd take it.
Well, thanks for talking to us about the eclipse.
Well, thanks for all your insightful questions. Hey, and there's an event, and I think that down in Starkville, they're going to have like 89% totality. So not quite as good up here. But if you want to drive down, they're going to have a big event at the drill field there. And they'll have about 1,000 glasses to give away. Now, I don't know how many people are going to show up, students and otherwise. But that is an option for anyone's invited, I was told.
That's probably why Amazon is out.
Because Starkville?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're wearing your Ole Miss shirt right now? And one other thing, but I thought about it and then it slipped my mind. So apparently that's what happens when you get old and feeble-minded.
All right.
Crickets. Thanks. Okay.
We'll watch.
Dead air. We're experiencing a lull. Bong, bong.
What, is still part of it or not, how much, if you don't mind me asking, were the glasses?
Like? Well, not very much. It was a pack of five for like, I think, $9 or $10.
I found in stock a pack of three for $24.
In where?
They must be going up.
Amazon.
But I only need three. I can give you two.
Well, see, the school all got them, so Wesley got a pair.
I'll sell you two for a couple $1,000.
Oh, is that all? I think I'll buy it now on Amazon. Thank you.
I guess we'll have a little watching of the eclipse on Monday in the parking lot of the Daily
Journal.
Oh,
this is the thing I wanted to add. If, let's say you have a boss like I do who's unreasonable sometimes. No. Leslie's my boss, and I'm just joking. But, there are going to be several sites, NASA, National Geographic, Science Channel, are going to be streaming it live. So if there's clouds and stuff like that, there's a chance to still see it happen in real time on different sites. And what they said down in Starkville is they hope to be able to see it. But if they don't, they'll have a big screen to show it live. And so it'll be an experience, even if it's not the great experience. But also one other thing, because we mentioned Josh Hanna, he had tried out a pair of the glasses looking at the sun, and it was a cloudy day, but it wasn't like a heavily, heavily cloudy, one of those kind of partly cloudy days, and so he could see the sun through the clouds with the glasses. So there's a chance, even if it's not a perfectly clear day, even if there's some clouds, that there can still be a show to be seen.
Cool.
I felt bad. Then the school district sent out an email yesterday saying if you don't want your kids to participate in it, fill out this form. And there's going to be somebody that does that, but I felt bad for the teachers that are going to have to sit in the schools with those kids that are going to miss out on it as a result.
When will the next eclipse be after this one?
99 years.
The one in our area is 2045. So that's going to be...
I won't be around for that.
This will be my last chance.
I'll be in my 70s. But there'll be one over in Arkansas, like in 20... I don't know if I wrote that down in the story. There will be one in Arkansas, like in the next... In the 2020s, like 2024 or something like that. So that'll be, and that's it. Like these aren't rare. Solar eclipses are not rare. It's just hitting in the same place is rare. And so being able to get in the spot, people will like take, they'll do cruises out in the Pacific to be there for a solar eclipse. There are people who chase these the way they would chase, not exactly a tornado because you don't know exactly where a tornado is, but they're quite the same. But there are people who just enjoy this light show by the sun and the moon.
Wow.
Can we be done now?
We're done.
Do we have to keep on talking?
Dear God, let it in.
Please.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'm talking to Adam Robinson. Sorry. Adam Robinson, a photographer at the Daily Journal, about In Focus this past Monday. Some great photographs of police officers on motorcycles.
Yes, police motorcycle training.
Where'd you get this idea?
I've caught them out there before, and... it just hit me, hey, I need to cover these guys. And there's five of them total, but couple of guys were on vacation, so it was just the three that are seen in the spread. So that's what we ended up with. But they try to do this once a month. Sometimes they do it twice a month. And then, you know, maybe 1 month they have to miss because of other things that come up. But they just line out some cones. I mean, it's all – I mean, you can see in some of the photos there next to some of the cones, there are some white dots where they go in and spray paint where they set up their course. And it just keeps them sharp. And they also do a little competition. I sort of forget where that is. Not up on my homework here, but –
Did they let you ride?
Oh, no. They did joke about it, but I'm too scrawny to hold up one of those motorcycles, so
they are big. I'll pass. They're big motorcycles.
But, yeah, it just keeps them sharp as far as, you know, they could be riding along and get a call and have to turn really fast and, you know, weave in and out of traffic. And, you know, I've always heard from motorcycle riders that you really got to watch out for all the other cars.
So you said they do it once a month?
Once a month. Try to.
I think that's a good idea for maybe drivers of cars.
Yeah, that would be an excellent idea. With as much time as we spend on the road, that could be a whole nother topic.
I think so. Do you have a favorite of these?
Oh, the one in the center. I always pick my best goes in the center and kind of work my way out from there as far as how I like to have it laid out. But just more of alignment, and you got the cones to work with, and it's just it was a lot of fun.
Hung out with them that morning. I like the one with the reflection. The reflection. Actually, you have two with reflections, but I like those.
Yeah, yeah, same officer on reflection. But, yeah, they sit around for a little while, and they'll ride, and then, the bikes heat up, and they get kind of tired. But you'll hear the brakes squealing and squeaking. They're warming up, and so they'll go pull off to the side and sit down under a shade tree and let the bikes cool off, take a little rest, and then they'll get back after it, and they'll stay out there. I mean, I got out there 7:45 that one morning, whatever day it was I went, and they'd already had all the cones set up, so they hit it early, and they stay out there most of the morning.
Huh. Well, it's a great piece.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know what I love about today's episode of The Memo, besides the fact that you were on, Leslie?
What, Derek?
It was informative. It was a very informative episode.
It was. It was. Sort of a broad
spectrum
mm-hmm. of...
I think we owe that to you.
Really?
Yes. I mean, we could owe it to our producer, Chris Kiefer, who made the lineup happen. But, you know, I'm gonna bestow that upon you instead.
Well, thanks. I'm sure I don't deserve it, but thank you.
Well, you're going to get it either way.
I second it.
Well, yeah. Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, it was all you. Because if Brad had been here, that episode would have just faltered a little bit, let's be honest.
Poor Brad.
He's fine. He's moving up in the ranks, I guess.
Senior sports writer.
Yeah. Is that a promotion?
Just means you're getting old.
He's going, ooh.
No promotion.
He's getting old. You hear that?
Everybody is.
Yeah, as soon as you're born.
You start getting old.
You start dying.
And you know, getting older is better than the alternative, I guess.
Getting younger?
Getting older. I say getting older.
Wouldn't the alternative be getting younger?
No, the alternative would be not getting older.
But that's what you're marching toward, so how is that the alternative? Ah, the untimely grip of death. Another topic for another day here on The Memo. Where you can listen to us online at memo.djournal.com or follow us on Twitter at djournalmemo. Yes?
I just wanted to say this.
That you could follow Leslie Chris on Twitter?
No, I wanted to say this today.
Because you can.
Just remember, mm-hmm. you ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Yes, that's true. Speaking of death, it's all around us. It's everywhere. We miss you, Alice.
We do.
So you can also, all the stories we talked about today, you can also find in your issue of the Daily Journal or online at djournal.com. And we'll be back on Friday for the farewell fanfare. For one Bradley Horatio Locke as he goes out in flames.
Only to reappear in the sports.
Instead of bringing him a cake, I'm just going to bring him a Duncan Hines box of cake batter. We'll see you on Friday.